For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
We are back, whether you like it or not, WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling, brother?
Brother Spike, I'm feeling pretty good. It's Tuesday. Let's face it. Out of the 7 days in a week,
yes,
this is the worst day of the week.
Tuesday's the worst?
That's a long theory that I have. It's a nothing day.
Yeah, he's been on this take for a while.
Yeah, it's a nothing day. I mean, it's not Monday coming off the weekend.
It's not the hump day.
It's not Wednesday hump day. It's not even Friday Eve, which is also known as Thursday.
Yeah, I think Thursday is actually the best day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's certainly not Friday. So Tuesday is the most nondescript day of the week. But here we are, and it's fitting that ESP is in today because he fits into this day.
Wow!
Jackie Baseball, the Delaware Valley needs you today, my brother. The Delaware Valley needs you today. Your boy.
I might need the Delaware Valley today.
Uh-oh.
I don't feel like hollering at anyone, to be completely frank with you.
We'll get
not
to...
happy.
No. Well, I mean, we have a big show.
I know.
It's an enormous show.
Whatever.
Jordan Mailata joins us at 2:30. Who cares? Elliot will be with us at 3. We do have the first two additions to the YouTube big board, quarterback and offensive line.
You're grinding offensive line at 4:30 this morning.
4:30 this morning. Ross Tucker will join us for that. But we do have to start with a Phillies 5-4 loss, but it felt more disheartening than 5-4. And against the team in the place where the 2024 season ended. So, Jack, you're watching that last night, and I'm sure Final Out must have been thrilling. What are you feeling as you're watching that game last night?
What I felt watching the game last night is that those two teams didn't look like they belonged in the same field. And that's even like Juan Soto didn't even factor into the game last night. Like that's they added Juan Soto and it just looked like a continuation of last year's NLDS. That looked like game 5 of the NLDS. I know we weren't lucky enough to be able to enjoy that last year, but it's just they went back to the strikeout thing against Tyler McGill. They're back to expanding the zone. They're back to lifeless. And what annoyed me is that you keep looking for this team to like cement that this year's different. And the Dodgers series beginning of the year was like, all right, there it is. Like they have a little different feel to them. And they just went up there. And to quote Pedro Martinez back in 2004, like the Mets are our daddies.
Wow.
Like they are our daddies. And they just look like they are in the Phillies' head. They look lifeless when they go up there to Citi Field. Lindor's hitting huge home runs. It was eerie. I'm sure Ike was celebrating yet again as Lindor hit a ball to the same exact spot that he did 5 months ago. Like, it all came back. I know.
Listen,
don't
deflect.
Deflect. I have to deflect. Way. I'm a master deflector. Yeah. No one's better in the business at deflecting than me. But I just felt like I was watching a continuation of last year's playoff series, and that sent a cold shiver down my spine of maybe setting in reality that this is who they are, and that run might have ended. And it might be time for a new iteration of this Phillies team. I mean, I was sick last night watching the game, which means I'll probably win tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they definitely could.
Yeah, he's probably right in all of that. Yes. Although, it'll be interesting to see how Sanchez pitches on the road. We know how great he is at home.
Yep.
This is really a game they need to have tonight. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need his best performance. But, you know, quite frankly, I have more faith that he's going to do what he's shown us, what he's capable of this year, than our offensive lineup somehow. And Jack will tell us more about the pitcher later on that we're facing tonight. I don't know what we're going to look like tonight offensively. I just know last night was frustrating. Watching this offense go up there, batter after batter, there were opportunities there. We couldn't capitalize on them. And I'm not even counting the top of the ninth inning. I understand, great comeback. Listen, Stoddy, three-run homer, gave us a shot, and he did. With one out and still at the top of our lineup, two of our better hitters up there with an opportunity to get Schwarber to the plate to see if he could actually do something to at least tie this game up. They go down in a real meek way. It was frustrating. It's frustrating. You know, I've never been one of these guys that's all that. If I don't feel good about a team going into the season, I feel even worse when that comes to fruition.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be right.
Yeah, because that's one of those things where, you know what, I hope I am wrong and people can tell me, yeah, you said this, and look at them now. I'd rather have it that way. But this is frustrating to watch this team, even coming off the two wins they had, because honestly, you see where this team just may not be there yet. And we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go, but they have to sort of dig us out of this feeling. Getting 2 out of 3 versus the Marlins was nice, but we said the Mets in this Cubs series will say a lot. And last night, it just felt like the Mets are the better team.
So I don't disagree with anything you guys said. I'm a little more, that was one game last night. I felt the same way watching it. You know, and you know, I know Nola. At the end of the day, the line looked okay. It does. It can't feel good for the team. Like, it's a gut punch when he goes up there and he gets blasted the first, you know, the first batter of the game. The next thing, another guy blasted by, and he got lucky on the Soto thing. That guy hit the ball 600 feet. I don't think anybody looked good. The bullpen didn't look good. But to me, like, I walked away from that game yesterday, and you both said something about the ninth innings. Like, yeah, it's nice, but it wasn't really 5-4.
Lipstick on a pig.
Well, but the runs count whenever they score the runs. I don't care if they score 4 runs in the ninth or if they score 1 in the 2nd, 1 in the 4th, 1 in the 7th, and then 1 in the 9th. My big thing in that ninth inning is that Bryce Harper cannot have that at-bat at that time. The best player on the team, Mr. Clutch, cannot go up there trying to make some Twitter video moment where he's the glory guy and we get to watch it all over and hear the crowd die. Like, I know he went up there thinking about being a hero rather than thinking about getting a base hit. And Diaz was up, like, that pitcher, Edwin Diaz, is cooked. Edwin Diaz wanted to give that game away. You could see it in his face after Stott hit the home run. And for Bryce Harper to get up there and go down in 3 pitches, and Diaz knew exactly what Harper wanted to do, and he baited him right into it. You could see it exact. And even, I'll tell you what, even after the first pitch where Bryce Harper closed his eyes and swung as hard as he could trying to hit that ball, what should have gone through his mind is, I'm not doing that. I'm getting on base. I have a guy who can hit home runs behind me. And you know what could happen? I take a walk and I get on first base and Kyle Schwarber comes up and hits the ball 500 feet and then we're winning 6-5 and we steal a game at Citi Field. But instead, the guy who reminded everybody last week that they should be thinking about the name on the front instead of the name on the back went up there trying to be a hero thinking about the name on the back. Bryce Harper is too good for an at-bat like that in that situation. It's too good. And we talk about thinking about the division series last year when they lost in New York. The same thing happened to him. He came up in a very important part in that game and failed in that part too. He's a great player. He's had a lot of clutch moments. But in that moment, you can't think about being clutch. You have to think about taking what is there and getting on base. And Bryce Harper failed them last night. And I hope he knows. He didn't just fail them because he didn't get a hit. He failed them because he didn't didn't compete. That was not a competitive at bat. He looked silly. That's the kind of at bat that Cal Stevenson should have. That's the kind of at bat that you know, Whit Merrifield should have. That is not the kind of at bat that Bryce Harper should have. Bryce Harper is too good a hitter to have an at bat like that, and that frustrated me. And I know you say it's 5-4 and it really wasn't that close, but it was that close because we were two swings away from winning that ball game last night. And that's what frustrated me about the game. I agree with you. The lineup did not look good. Now, Tyler McGill's been good all year. Tyler McGill hasn't given up a home run this year. Tyler McGill has always pitched well against the Phillies. I wasn't really surprised about that. I think I was expecting the first six innings of the game. But for Harper to come up in that situation and come up that lame really, really pissed me off.
Well, here's the other thing. And I understand that. But guess what? Maybe that Harper out doesn't have the fatality feel to it that it does, and maybe you're going to the bottom of the ninth up 4-2 if Ruiz doesn't give up a home run.
Oh, for sure.
So
yeah,
bullpen,
yeah,
again,
yes.
Worst bullpen, or second worst bullpen in baseball, strikes again last night. Because here's the thing. While you're right in a vacuum with that, Fritz is right as well. I feel like I'm right as well in a vacuum. But in reality, the one thing that's been consistently bad when needed or being when counted upon, it's been the bullpen.
I agree.
And last night they struck again.
Yep.
You know, Nola, for what anybody wants to say, and I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm trying to be at least fair to him, that he's gotten – last night's performance wasn't as bad as some of the other ones seem to be, even though he gets the fewest amount of run support of any pitcher on the staff. Again, last night, no run support, no hits. I understand it sucks when he goes up there and gives up a leadoff home run. You know what also sucks is when you pitch well and you get your lineup is up there and they put runners on base and you can't knock runners in. It'd be nice as a pitcher to go out there and have a 2-run lead, a 3-run lead, so every pitch doesn't have to be perfect. We already know he is what he is physically. Forget about the contract. He's probably your fourth best pitcher.
He's definitely the fourth best
pitcher. Okay, so then we know we're not getting ace-like performances. Your offense has to step up on his behalf because it's more likely he's going to give up a home run. We just have to hope it's not a 2- or 3-run home run. But you got to score some runs for the guy.
I agree. I don't disagree with anything anybody said here. I'm just saying that I walked away disappointed in Bryce.
Yeah, it sucked last night. It did. I'm with you because I think that's the moments he's built for.
And I'm disappointed
to see him go down the way he did.
And it was disappointing in Trey too. I mean, Trey went down on four pitches
exactly.
to the bat before.
I agree.
Sure.
Yep.
Like they all. This is when they when I don't, I'm not even really pushing back against what you said, Spike.
Me either. Yeah. Really.
Like it's mostly fair, but. When they are at their worst, it's when they're all trying to play hero ball.
Yes, and they're trying to all hit 7-run home runs.
After Stott hit the home run last night, it was pure hero ball.
Yeah.
Rather than grinding it out and trying to come back against a largely wild pitcher.
And the amazing thing was the way they got it to 5-4 was not home runs. I know Stott hit the home run, but it was Bohm single. It was Realmuto single. It was, you know what I mean? Like they got there.
Kepler single.
Kepler single as well. So, you know, the only way you can hit a 3-run home run is if there's two guys on base before you, you know?
And they always say the home run's a rally killer. So he should have really hit that off the wall.
Right, that would have been better. Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, get off my timeline with that nonsense.
Yeah. Home runs are a rally killer?
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Yeah.
215-592-9494. You can just let it out about the game last night.
Nobody, Therapy Tuesday
no,
yet again.
Therapy Tuesday yet again. Where we go? Corey in Columbus. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, I'm on time today, baby.
There you go.
What up, Steve?
It's about time.
Hey man, y'all need some therapy today. Listen, I ain't gonna be the one to give it to you. All right, it's over, y'all. It's over. I know.
Oh, you're
April.
Crazy.
It's over, man. Listen, yeah, it ain't crazy. This is a 500 baseball team. Listen, you got guys out here like you said, Bryce Harper. I love Bryce Harper. We all love Bryce Harper. It's like all he know how to do is play hero ball. Like it's like I get the pressure that he like that comes on to him because he sees his team not producing. I mean, you get the Stott home run, you get the RBI single from JT. I mean, finally he do something. But it's like this team, Aaron Foda, we know what this dude is. This is who he is. I know Ike loves him. Ike loves to support, you know, the mid guys, the Tobias Harris, you know, the Aaron Fodas, you know, those are the guys he rock with, the Carson Wentzes, you know, that's the guys he for. But it's cool.
Well, hold on, you ought to know about that too. Don't make me go down that road.
Yeah, let's relax, Corey.
Wait, I'm sorry,
that was what? A quarterback.
Yeah, don't make me go down that road now.
Don't change the topic because I got to run.
I didn't. Well,
you're starting it.
Yeah, you started it.
greatness is considered with championship. See,
you're right. I'm with you. All right, just stay on point. Stay on point.
Okay. You know. So it's like we get a lot of mid play out Aaron Nola, but this is who he is. Like y'all said, he's the fourth best starter on the team, so I can't expect him. What he did last night, that wasn't terrible, but the offense does not produce. Whatever happened to Castellano? Somebody, I thought somebody passed away. He's supposed to show up. Where he at? You know what I'm saying? We put that, nip that in the bud. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. This team is a 500 baseball team. I don't see a lot coming out of them. Like I said, there's a lot of baseball left. And I'm not with it.
Man, so quick for it to be over with, huh?
Yeah, I'm not there.
We're not even Memorial Day yet, and you're like, season's over with.
Yeah, but listen, I'm really good at judging. I can see, I can see what team's potential, man. When I can see a team, it's almost there. Like I saw it in 2022. I was like, this team, everybody was quitting. I was telling y'all, I see the run coming. This team I don't see. I feel like we might have already peaked, but it's too many. Like, Bryce Harper want to put on the cape too much. Like, it's like, I get it. You are Superman, bro, but sometimes we don't need you to do that. What I need Bryce Harper to do, and he might not be this guy, I need him to get in these players' ass. I don't care about friends. I don't care about taking pictures and doing all that. I need this dude to get in these dudes' ass. Pause. I need him to be like, listen, I need y'all to show up. When they go up to bat, Bomer, let's go, baby. Come on, man. You the guy. You an all-star. Prop him up. Dude.
Big hit last night from Bomer. 8 straight games.
Yep. But I need him to do that with everybody. When you see your team is lacking, I need the leader to stand up and lead and be that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
DJ Brown-esque. Also,
yeah.
It was the Phantom truck that got stolen, not that Accord.
Somebody took a Phantom like a Bentley?
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
That's why he was ready to put hands.
Oh, yeah, that ain't cheap. Yeah, that ain't cheap.
I don't think.
Yeah, you're talking about a half a ticket right there. Man.
All right, thank you for the call, Corey. I'm not ready. I'm not there. It was a bad loss. But like Jack said, they go and win. They have Sanchez tonight and then Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We walk out of there with 2 of 3.
Okay, well, you got to do it.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm not saying I didn't feel that way as the game was going on. But I wake up in the morning and it was still a baseball game. It was just a baseball game against a pitcher they've always struggled against, who has pitched really well this year. And they still put 4 runs up. The runs count. It's just like, I don't feel like, I understand the feeling that the Mets.
But if you say they put 4 runs up and the runs count, then my concern for the bullpen, which is why they didn't win, still comes into play. Is that the bullpen still doesn't come in and hold a lead, right? Doesn't get inherit runners. They allow them to score. You're not getting out of tough situations. When you come in as a bullpen, every situation isn't going to be ideal for you, right? You got to come in some tough spots. Like, Nola shouldn't even been out there in a 7th.
Well, they were in a just not to make excuses, they were in a tough spot last night because none of their best relievers were available last night.
Right,
the
because of what they... It's a trickle-down effect, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a tough spot. I know Nola had to go out there for an inning he shouldn't have, but, I'm just saying they were in a...
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bit of a tough spot from a relief perspective last night because they didn't have their best guys available.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying, as a fan, as we're watching the games, if the games are going to matter to us, right? And this is a big divisional rival. It's going to be the Phillies and the Mets. It looks like the Braves are going to struggle throughout the year to even stay healthy. The Marlins still too young. The Nats, who cares? So this division looks like it's
winnable.
It's new, but it looked like it's New York and Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Only thing.
Yeah.
So when they get a chance to match up for the first time,
sure,
after eliminating us from the playoffs, we're not going to have no reaction.
No. I agree. 100%. I felt sick last night.
Yeah, but the runs happening in the ninth. I mean, they don't hit the same as if they happen earlier.
They certainly do.
If Bryce doesn't go down on 3 pitches, they probably, all I'm saying.
4
is
pitches.
Four pitches. If he gets on base and Schwarber hits a home run, all of a sudden we're not looking at a team that didn't score all game. We're looking at a team that has resolve. We're looking at a team that didn't quit. We're looking at a team that played for each other.
Yeah.
All those sorts of things. They were 1 or 2 at bats away from it being that.
So, but it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
So you're saying the team is still a good team? Is that what you're saying?
I still think
they're
a good
team. You still feel good about the team?
Well, you can't feel great after last night.
Well,
but
I didn't say great. Yeah, I said good.
I still feel good about the team. Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Therapy Tuesday on the WIP Afternoon Show. Dominic in Westchester, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, Dom?
I'm not doing great. I feel like every time I call you guys, I think I'm about to go into it. And I apologize to the people in the Delaware Valley if I raise my voice. I'm going to try my best not to. But, I mean, this is absolutely insane. I declared the Phillies dead on April 13th last week, and they're still dead. Okay?
Nope.
It's fine. I'm tired of
Nope. Check on his phone. Just see if he's on speaker or something. Chris in Delaware, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Hope you guys are all doing well. This warm weather Tuesday.
What's up, Chris?
Out of everything, look, out of everything that happened last night, it is 76 to 80 degrees outside today. It's a beautiful day.
Well, that's true.
For baseball, so maybe we should put Nola back on the mound. But really, looking at last night, I only blame one person for that loss. And the reason why I only blame this one person is because I don't know if he makes more than Turner. I believe he does, correct?
Who?
Bryce Harper. He makes more than Turner.
No, not per year.
What? I don't think so.
I think per year he makes less.
Okay,
yeah.
So he makes the second most on the team about.
Yeah.
And he gets up to the plate. And I just looked it up. Schwarber has 7 home runs.
Yep.
And Harper, he has 5.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, because I have been in some math classes, 7 is more than 5, correct?
Yeah.
So, why is Bryce Harper, the guy who's supposed to be leading this team, with Kyle Schwarber behind him, who you guys have just said may have hit a 500-foot home run, we never know with him, swinging at something that flew into the dirt? Look, if it's a fastball that gets by you, or if it's in the zone, something like that, where it's something that you can have the ability to hit.
He was trying to be a hero. I agree with you. He should have just gotten on base. Try to get on base. Yes.
And exactly what you guys just said. He's talking about the name on the front, not the name on the back. Harper, don't be a hypocrite. You're talking about the name on the front, not the name on the back. We need you to play that way. And really, at the end of the day, if he's trying to be that big dog, if he is trying to be the Saquon Barkley for the Phillies, Saquon at one point said, hey, I could break the record, but I'm going to let my other guys eat. I'm going to let them have the yards, have the rest of the game. Bryce needs to have, and I haven't seen it yet, Bryce needs to re-have that moment of, hey, you know what, Schwarber's right behind me, or Cassidy's right behind me, or Bohm's right behind me. I know they're going to come through for the team. I'm going to do what I need to do and get on base, and then I'm going to let this guy follow up, and I'm going to let him have the moment for us to win this game. And that didn't happen last night. The win didn't upset me as much as the moment Bryce Harper swings at a curveball all the way into the dirt. That's not Bryce Harper. That's not him.
Thank you for the call, Chris. I think he's a much better hitter than he showed in that at bat. What's amazing, just watching Jack, is Jack can handle when I do the Bryce Harper thing, but when the callers are doing the Bryce Harper
losing
thing,
brain cells. Yeah. Losing brain cells.
That's Why are you losing brain cells?
Oh, it's just I could feel it coming.
Right.
Well, I mean,
He's right. What's the point of having? Well, you can argue with him. But what's the point of having a guy? What's the point of having protection behind you if you're not?
So it was bad. It's just like at the same time he's been walked a ton this year.
Okay,
and
then take one more.
He took a couple walks last night. He didn't get a couple pitches in a couple of those earlier.
He's passing the baton.
Yeah,
we should have passed the baton in the ninth inning.
Here's the thing about. I totally understand where you're coming from. I get it. But it's Bryce Harper.
Yes.
So how do I fault Bryce Harper for wanting to win the game?
Kobe wants the shot.
Damn sure ain't passionate to Smush Parker. I'm just saying.
Hold on. You do the LeBron is making the correct basketball decisions.
Hold on.
He's been making the correct basketball decisions. Still getting made fun of for 25 years.
Kyle Schwarber's not Smush Parker.
Of course not.
It's a good one.
He's Pau Gasol.
he's Schwarber started off real hot, hasn't had a great few games, I think. But you can't. I still
understand your point. Yeah, I get it.
It was a lack of faith.
Yeah.
You didn't have Johan Rojas behind you. And I'm telling you, Diaz did not want to throw him something to hit.
But
he could have walked on five pitches, or he could have battled a little bit. I can fault him.
You can't fault the guy.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Not when he's done it in the past.
But did he do it in the Mets series? He came up in a huge spot in Game 4.
Right.
A huge spot.
I remember.
That at-bat lost the game in that Mets series. Well, I mean, it did. To a certain extent, that at-bat lost the game. And he has succeeded. Look, I'm not mad at him because he failed in that at-bat. I'm mad at him because he got tricked in that at-bat. That pitcher knew exactly what he wanted to do. Knew exactly what Harper wanted to do. And that is the one. I think Bryce Harper is a fantastic player, and I am a fan of his. His biggest flaw is that he is always looking for the moment. Like, the moment can't...
Don't we want our guys to want the moment?
You can't make the moment more important than the win. And to me, yesterday, he had the ability to battle in that at-bat, potentially get on base.
Stay alive.
And he didn't battle it. He didn't battle. He was trying to tie the game. And if the pitch is right there, but you can't just on 3 out of 4 pitches close your eyes and swing as hard as you can when the guy's not going to throw you the pitch that you want to hit. I just thought it was a bad spot for Bryce, and he could have been better. All right, 215-592-9494.
I got to bite my tongue.
Therapy Tuesday on the WIP Afternoon Show. Tell us how you feel about that loss to the Mets. Jordan Mailata joins us next. Jordan Mailata has only had good days, I think. I don't think Jordan needs any of our therapy. Jordan, as we talked to him last time, has a big event coming up next week with the Philadelphia Children's Alliance. So we'll talk to him about that and what he's been up to. I think he was in New Zealand trying to get people to like NFL football. So we'll talk to him. Maybe his draft memories as well. Hung around, what, 7th round? Mailata got
seventh
picked?
Round.
Seventh round. So we'll talk to Jordan next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Like Spike and Fritz. Rolling. Just let this play, man.
Fritz, you don't have any idea.
Tina Turner, come on.
I know you know who it is, still don't know who it is.
Not really, but...
You have no knowledge about Tina.
You need to start singing Proud Mary, I'll sing Proud Mary. I heard it this morning, and I was like, you know what? That'd be a pretty good return.
It is. Makes me feel good.
It is.
The Jordan Mailata joins us. Jordan and his wife are being honored at the Philadelphia Children's Alliance Bear Fair, which is next week. Celebration of healing and hope, supporting the mission to end child sex abuse. We talked about Bear Affair last time you were here, Jordan. Still tickets at bearaffair.org, but I know this event has always been really important, and this cause has been very important to you and your wife.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Good to hear from you guys again.
Yeah, what's up, big man?
Appreciate the platform. I just think that this topic is very taboo and not talked about enough. So just bringing more attention to it, to raise awareness, I think that's just something that my wife and I can do as part of the community.
Yep, absolutely. And, part of this organization was one of the beneficiaries of the album that you guys did this year. So the event is next Thursday, May 1st. It's at the Constitution Center. And I know our suburban listeners, there's free parking. And anytime our suburban listeners think about driving to the city, I know this, I'm a suburbs
guy
now.
That's important, man.
You start worrying about parking.
That's right.
Yep.
That's important to know. So yep. I appreciate it.
Yeah, bearaffair.org is where you can get your tickets. So, Jordan, you've been in, you were in New Zealand, right, trying to promote the game. What is it like? You know, I've grown up around people who know football my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to get people who don't really know football to understand what football is all about. Like, what is that like?
I mean, I think you can be a fan and not know anything about a game, and that's exactly what happened. So I was very shocked to see the growth of the game in New Zealand. So many fans, they may not be Eagles fans, but just seeing them pull up in whatever jersey that they had bought, the team that they support, that was pretty cool to see just the growth of the game, but also having the opportunity to host a flag football camp or clinic down there for kids, just to get, I guess, more interest, pique the interest of kids down there at a young age and let them know that this is a potential path.
Yeah, it's just interesting because it's NFL football is so American football is so big here.
Yeah.
But worldwide, you know, is soccer and basketball and American football is behind that. It's just it's so interesting to me to understand that in other countries they're just starting to really fall in love with American football as you know, we grew up with it as it's basically been our American pastime.
Yeah.
Football has been.
Yeah, I mean it's the same thing about growing rugby here in the US, you know. It's like not common. You don't grow up playing the sport. You don't know a thing about it. You got to do your own research, and then you gain interest. But it's sort of the same thing that you know we're trying to do back home in Australia and New Zealand. Just trying to pique the interest to, in order to you know grow or gain the following down there. So it's been pretty fun this off season. Got to go home to Australia and New Zealand for the first time. So pretty cool. Pretty honored to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool for us as Eagles fans. Like, you become one of the faces of trying to grow the game outside of the U.S. Obviously, you learning the game and picking it up late. I'm just wondering from your perspective why it's important to you to be able to sort of share the experience of what it's like with American football and, I don't know, answer questions, dispel some myths, things of that nature when going around the globe talking about it. Why has that been, I guess, a passion of yours and intriguing for you?
I think, one, the opportunity, you know, is amazing. We just talk about that in itself. But then, two, for me, trying to prove myself in this league, you know, it's always been, oh, he's the rugby kid, right? Oh, that's right, he's the rugby kid. You know, I've been trying to, and I still a chip on my shoulder, prove myself every year. You know, when someone brings up my name, I want them to say, oh yeah, he's one of the best tackles in the game. I don't know, rugby will always be a part of me, but that's the chip on my shoulder that I use as motivation to go out there and give everything I have. And so, for me, it's just about why can't we play? Mm-hmm. Why can't we deserve this shot too, you know? And so that's kind of why I love, you know, trying to spread the game and keep the growth going down under, just to keep giving kids opportunities to come play this sport, because anyone can play this sport, man. You just have to have the passion and the drive to be able to do it. And if you get that opportunity, to take hold of it. So that's really why.
Jordan Mailata with us. Now, Jordan, we are 2 days away from the draft. You'll get some new teammates on Thursday. Now, you what was your experience that weekend like? The Eagles took you in the seventh round. Like, were there other teams that you thought, you know, might be interested? Did you know it was going to be the Eagles? The process of waiting. What do you remember about NFL draft weekend?
I remember everything.
Really?
That call changed my life. You know, that call really did change my life. And I remember getting invited probably a couple of days out before Thursday night, and I just thought, yeah, why not? You know, like, just go down there on day three, just check it out, you know, live it up, take in the sights and sounds. And, you know, went down there on the Saturday, on day two, I believe it was, and ended up getting a tour of the whole facility. Down at AT&T Stadium, I think that's where it was. And man, it was incredible. I had no inclination that I would get drafted. You know, for me, it was just a shot in the dark. If it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, well, it doesn't. You know, I just go back to the training paddock and keep grinding it out till I get an opportunity through the IPP program. And lo and behold, like, I got a call from a Cleveland number. And it ended up being somebody from the Jets, which was hilarious, just wondering if I was still available. And I was like, well, you're watching the same draft I'm watching. sitting in the back room, I'm sitting there like, oh, no, he wants me in free agency is what my agent was telling me. So I was like, okay. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just, you know, the picks are going by, round five, round six, start of round seven comes, and I've been sitting in this green room in the back for like – far out, felt like four to five hours. Me and my boy Christian, he was part of the IPP program I was in, and he, you know, he was there for me that day. And sure enough, I get a call from Brandon Brown, who's now the executive GM at the Giants, So he was one of the Eagle Scouts that found me. He was the Eagle Scout that found me.
Okay.
And I answered the phone to Brandon and, you know, said, oh, how's it going? And he said, well, you know, I have someone who wants to speak to you here, and his name is Howie Roseman. And so, yeah, I just remember Howie's giddy old self. And hey, Jordan, we're about to take you in the seventh round, pick 233, and I was just overcome and overwhelmed with emotion. You know, just I couldn't believe that a team was taking a shot at me. No prior football experience, and yeah, the waterfall started happening, the waterworks, everything, and yeah, I don't really remember much after the phone call. All right, because I was trying to call my family. I was like, some team is crazy enough to take me. And man, that phone call changed my life, man. So shout out to Brandon Brown for finding me.
Did you have any, so as you mentioned, you got drafted with no football experience. After the rush of getting selected, was there any like self-doubt in, wait a minute, now I'm going to have to learn how to play football? Like, was there any doubt that you could actually accomplish what was set before you with getting taken?
Looking back, there was no doubt because I was a cocky young man. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
You are.
I'm allowed to say that word. I am? Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize, kids, anyone listening. But I was a cocky young man, and I knew I was going to give everything I had, right? And so for me, I was just so excited for the next opportunity that I got, and it was to prove myself. And 8 years later, fire out. Still trying to prove myself. Can you believe that?
Well, I think you've done a pretty good job.
It's great that you keep that as a chip on your shoulder, but I think for the most part, we know who you are.
Yes.
I think you've done a great job of proving yourself. Yeah, so,
it's the right attitude.
Yeah, keep the chip, though.
Yeah, I'm not so sure you're good, actually. You might need to be even better next year. I'm not sold. Yeah.
It's all good. I'm just listening to his draft story, man, and it's awesome. And I don't care how many draft stories I've heard in my lifetime. Each one makes you reflect back on your own experience.
For
so
sure,
sitting
of course,
there listening to Jordan talk about his day just takes me back to my own day. So it's no matter when that name is called, no matter what number it is, it's the greatest feeling in the world, man. It is the greatest feeling in the world.
You know, I had no idea what the draft was until 3 months prior to me going to it.
So you probably didn't have all the anxiety that most of us have.
The perfect reaction. That's the craziest part. I was like, oh, my God.
You now, as you know, you've been here a while now, and you're one of the leaders, one of the sort of like elder statesmen on the team. I assume you look at your own role as a responsibility when these new guys show up. That you're one of the people that shows them what it's done here. Do you think about that as like that it's in part your job to
always.
Do that? Yep.
Always. I always think about it. You know, the leaders that I've had that have been great examples for me always led by action. And so that's all I know how to do. It was a simple recipe. Jason Kelce did it, Lane Johnson does it. Bloody Isaac Seumalo did it. Brandon Brooks did it. You know, those guys, Fletcher Cox, BG, they did it. They're led by action. They're led by routine. And so for me, it's all it is, showing these kids. It's simple. It's going to ask a lot of you, but the recipe is simple. You don't have to solve X squared plus Y three, you know, power to the three. Like, you don't need to do all that.
Yeah.
It's a simple recipe, but it's gonna demand a lot from you. So, yeah, I always think about it. Everything I do when I step in that building.
Different position to be in for yourself and your teammates, at least with the exception of maybe four of them this time of the year. Going in as defending champions, I'd be remiss without asking you, where are you at right now mentally, physically? Where are you at in your, I guess, your preparation and getting ready for the season? How you feeling mentally and physically?
Yeah, I'm already ready. Like, we're all excited to be back. But for myself personally, I don't view it as seeing it as defending champions. Last year was last year. Last season was last season. That's done, right? I think that's part of this, what they call the Super Bowl hangover, is with the pressure of feeling like we have to defend the title. And I was honest with Sirianni. I went up to him a couple of weeks before OTAs, and I told him where I was at. And the fact is
Like, this is a whole new team. There's whole new faces. We should be dealing with this how we dealt in 23. Move on. The quicker we can move on, the better, because it's a whole new team. It's a new goal. What's the goal this year? Win the championship. That's just it for me. Again, I try to keep it as simple as possible, but I've already moved on. You know, I've already moved on. Now,
yeah,
we still got to get that ring ceremony out of the way before we can
officially move on. Yeah,
listen, you just listen.
Like, you know, that's like the last chapter in the book. But mentally, for me, I'm already thinking about this season.
Yeah, you just scared the hell out of me, so don't worry. Listen, you're not defending champs anymore. I'm not going to say repeat on any of that.
No, we are moving on.
Yeah, we forgot about it. Like,
it's just a whole new season. Like,
yeah. Yes.
Fans and you guys can do all that. But you're asking me for my approach is this year, and that's just it.
Yep.
My approach is, you know, when we lost that one in 22 and 23, you know, the 2023 one, like, you know, we had to move on right away.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we know how to deal with adversity, how do we deal with success?
I think it's a great mindset. Yeah.
You got to move on. You got to be able to move on, because teams ain't going to wait for you.
That's exactly right.
Find you a threat. Now, that's their problem. But for us, we know what we're about. We know the goal. We know what it takes to get there. But we have a whole new team, and this is a whole new goal again. We're gonna hit the ground running.
Well, we thank you for your time. Before you know it, it's going to be camp time, brother. Before you know it, it's going to be training camp time. So
I'm going to take it day by day, man.
All right. Nah, okay.
Man, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
And again, God bless you and Nikki for being supporters of the Philadelphia Children's Alliance. Again, the Bear Affair is Thursday, May 1st at the Constitution Center. You can get tickets at bearaffair.org. Free parking as well, so you don't have to worry about parking. So thank you again for your time, and we look forward to seeing you back in Philly.
All right, brother.
Thank you, guys.
All right. There he is, Jordan Mailata. As well, the PCA also sells these golden tickets, which are available, and you can get like one person that buys. There's only 100 golden tickets. One person gets an auction item, can win an auction item before the auction even starts. So, and there's Eagles prizes in there as well. So you can get a golden ticket as well at bearaffair.org. 215-592-9494. Get back to the Phils. That doesn't quite feel quite as good as the Jordan Mailata stuff.
Yeah, feeling good too.
Yeah.
Hey, stop hair loss. Listen, you can defend your hairline with Glad Hair by Morgan Stern Medical. Now, did you know hair loss is so common that by age 35, 2/3 of men have already experienced hair loss and thinning? Glad Hair, they've got you covered with cutting edge treatments like TED, PRP, and exosomes. They help you keep the hair you already have and help you bring back what you've already lost. Give them a call, 610-980-4000. Glad Hair will help you keep what you've got and help replace what you've lost. It's that simple. Visit GladHairMM.com.
You know, I always think that just to go back to what Jordan was saying about teaching people about football, football is sort of like the English language. We all grow up knowing it, but it's much more complicated than like Spanish and French. And like the rules of the English language don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I always feel like football is the same way. It's so hard to explain football to somebody. Soccer and basketball are essentially the hockey, lacrosse. They're all the same thing. Right? They're all different versions of the same thing. Football is so much different. I can't even imagine trying to learn football without having grown up with it around
lots of moving parts.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, lots of moving parts. Yeah. So you almost have to have some... I can't imagine being older and learning from the beginning.
Right.
Right? So at least I got the chance to learn it from younger. So even though you don't know everything at 8, 9 years old, you still hear certain concepts and those things get repeated to you as you get older. But yeah, learning it from the ground up as a teenager, as an adult, it'd be difficult to get all the little nuances of the game.
Like some would say, Jack and I still don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, you guys know what you're talking about.
Nah.
You know enough to form an opinion.
Yes.
Well, that's not hard.
Yeah, opinions I can have. Yeah,
you know enough to do that.
Yeah, 3-level runner or whatever, that I got to learn. But, opinions I could have. 215-592-9494. Dominic in Westchester, you're on WIP.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. I'm so frustrated. I can't even do the simple things right. But anyways, I'm going to try again not to raise my voice, but today I'm just super frustrated. This team is dead. This team is a dumpster fire from start to finish, okay? We can't even keep a simple lineup in order, okay? And we had a pitch, Nola, last night not because we were in a tough spot with the relievers. It's the beginning of the season. Those guys can go out there and extend their arm a little bit more than what they're showing, okay? They were afraid to put me in because he stinks too. And Romero, there's no one in the reliever pen that is good, okay? And then on top of that, you guys just, at the bottom of the order stinks, and then his replacement stinks so bad they got to put someone else in there. I don't care about the matchup. Until they get this stuff situated, this team is a 500 baseball team, and all their wins, besides the Dodgers, come from bottom feeders like the Marlins and the Nationals, okay? They don't get up to play the Mets. They don't get up to play the Cardinals. And the Cardinals aren't even a good team. And
they took two out of three from the Dodgers.
I don't care about the Dodgers. Okay. Where's their daddy?
Okay, so they only... I understand your frustration, but you can't just say they don't get up against the good teams except for the best team in baseball. Like, they got up for a good team. They lost a game last night.
Yeah, I know they lost a game last night, but they're going to lose tonight, too. They're going to make this guy look like Curt Schilling out there on the mound, and he's got like a 3.8 ERA. And it's so frustrating is that those runs in the ninth inning, you guys say they count whenever they get them. It was 2-0. You had the fourth highest payroll in baseball, and you can't get two runs? I mean, it's insane. The starting pitching has been great and has been let down by this team. They can't hit in scoring position. I remember last week it was 190 when they had runners in scoring position. I'm sure it's maybe 200 or very close to 190 still, and it is frustrating. Every time there's someone on base, I say, I wish they would just hit solo shots because they can't hit anyone in. There's no small ball. Everyone's trying to play hero ball, and it's just frustrating. I feel like I call you guys and I talk about the same stuff, and I just get so irritated. I feel like I'm going insane.
Well, I feel bad for you, man. Yeah, I hear you. It was one game.
No, it's all season.
He feels it's going to be better, Dominic. It's going to be better. Spike's saying it's going to get better.
Spike's our leader on this.
Yeah, they're going to level out. They are. Okay. I
just want you guys to remember, April 14th is when I declare them dead. And
all right, congratulations.
Well, yes.
Congratulations. Declare them dead. Well, and he can claim victory as long as they don't win the World Series. They could go to the seventh game of the NLCS against the Dodgers, and he can call, Dominic can call up and say, I told you they were dead. I'm just like, what if they win tonight? What if they win tonight?
Then we'll feel better tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah, that's all I can tell you. What if they don't win tonight?
Well, then I might sound the alarm tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be even worse tomorrow.
Might start the show with the whole... Actually, tomorrow we'll be coming on after the game.
Great, awesome.
So, yeah.
No, you know what? They win tonight.
Yeah.
They win tonight.
And then they lose tomorrow.
Right. Then they got a 1 o'clock. Oh, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, they lose with
the Wheeler
game.
Yes.
Never win a 1 o'clock game during the week.
That's true.
They never let us come on and be happy and excited. It's all, even when they win, it's ugly.
Yes.
I've been doing the show since 2019. I think their record at 1 o'clock games during the week is 1 in a million.
1 in a million?
It's sickening. It's sickening. Can't even have any fun.
Well, or... What if they lose tonight and then they win tomorrow? We have to come on tomorrow, be excited, but they lost 2 of 3.
Yeah.
We have to figure that out.
That might bother y'all more. That might bother Spike more than anything right there.
Oh, come on. I'll be like, I told you they were fine. Yeah. All right.
Water always finds its level.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Joining us next.
He's nailed that one. He's used that one a couple times.
Yeah, right.
Water always finds level.
Yeah.
Rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah.
Boats.
Whatever. Ships, boats, same thing.
Where are you learning all this?
Not really the same thing.
What is the difference between a ship and a boat?
Yeah, I'm sort of with Jack on this one.
You think a ship's too big and a boat's too small? Exactly.
Right.
But a boat is still a ship?
No, a ship is a boat, but I don't know if a boat is a ship.
But it's still all... What's the base? Is the base is a boat.
Boat,
like
yes.
Titanic is technically a boat.
A boat. But who calls it a boat?
Yeah, no.
Well, it's a ship.
Exactly.
What I would say is like a rowboat is not a ship, but the Titanic is a boat. So every ship is a boat, but not every boat is a ship.
No, I agree. And that's why there's a different word for it, because it's to describe the difference between a boat and a ship.
Okay, all right. Oh, Jack's hanging himself again. Well, wait till Elliot gets here. Hey,
I don't know if a tide rises a ship.
Well, hold on. It did hit the iceberg. That could have been tide related. You don't know that.
I think that was human error.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Poor captain.
Give me the saying one more time.
A rising tide raises all ships.
So a rising tide is what?
It's when the water rises.
That's water rises, right?
Yeah.
What's more likely to happen with water rising? A ship rising or a boat?
Both of them.
Well, hold on. What about the videos of those guys that do the Alaskan king crabs?
Well,
they're on ships.
Anytime I've seen a ship... That is scary as hell. Anytime I've seen...
Oh, well, but I think rising tide raises all ships sounds better than rising tide raises all boats.
It actually doesn't.
It sounds like a Twitter poll.
Yeah, put it up there.
Is a ship a boat?
Yeah. By the way, that'll be the Twitter question, which is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Marks. Experience the different at marks-jewelers.com. Elliot joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.